Chapter 66 and verse number 2. We'll take two verses. I want to talk to you tonight about strong delusion. Strong delusion. I want to call this Christianizing Halloween. And it really is not just about that. It's about kind of the whole problem today that we have. I believe we have strong delusion today. And I want to show you this from the scriptures and show you why I believe this from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, that it may not be the strong delusion that is completely going to cover the earth in the days ahead. But the Bible shows the principles of why God does send delusion. And he talked about sending delusion. And did you know that God is the one that sends delusion? In my King James Bible, I looked all over and I studied it. And I found out that God is the one, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that he is the only one that sends that type of delusion. He is the one that sends that delusion, what that delusion actually is. It's amazing, but I'm seeing it today. I'm shocked at what I'm going to show you, and I cannot believe that people do this, or even believe this way, are just so absolutely deluded. And I have to think that it's a supernatural delusion. I'm starting to believe that this is a supernatural delusion that God is doing, that God's allowing to happen in these ladies sending, I believe. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now you look at this. God says that if you have a contrite spirit, if you tremble at his word, then he will take care of you. What does the Bible say about that? That God is near the one that has a broken and contrite spirit. Amen? God says that. God promises that in Psalm chapter 51, when we see David. We see what he said about David. David said he had a broken and contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. God doesn't count that little when you have a broken and contrite spirit. It means something to him. But it also means something when you boast yourself and you ignore some. Look at this. Watch this. In verse number 3, he says, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. God says, hey, listen, they might not be the most evil people around, but you know what? They've chosen their own way. They said, I'm going to do it my way. Times you hear, what is that? That's the satanic mantra.
That's right.
Do what thou wilt. That's what they're saying. That's what God is saying here. That's what they said. They're doing it their own way. It's like, was it Frankie Sinatra said that? He said, I did it my way. You sure did. Straight to hell, you devil. And led millions along the way with you. Amen. Said he offered swine's blood, he that burned incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Isn't that something? God said, hey, they went their own way, and their soul, they delighteth in their abominations. What I call a thought of God abhors it. Meaning that same word abhor, or I hate, God hates it, he abhors it. And they're fine with it. That's okay. So what's he going to do? He says this. He says, I will also choose their delusions. And I will bring their fears upon them. I will choose their delusions. We're going to talk about this and break this down a little bit more. But he says, I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Do you understand what he's saying there? Hey, you understand how powerful that is? God says, I'm going to send them delusions. I'm going to choose their delusions. Boy, you know, this does not describe the God that nobody hates. does it. No, this is a different God. This is the Lord God of the Bible.
Amen.
He's not this little neat package that you've made up or formed in your own pocket, or this idol that you've created. No, He is the God of the Bible. And He says, I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. I already told them I didn't want them doing it. They did it anyway. Wow. Now turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We got two witnesses, amen? We got two witnesses in Scripture. One in the old, one in the new here. That's the way it worked out, but I like that. I like how God doesn't change, amen? He's the same God in the Old Testament as He was in the New Testament. He just provided a new way, a new covenant, amen? That's what He provided in the New Testament. He's the same God. He doesn't change. He said, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Amen? Thank God He doesn't change on a whim. Thank God He's not like you, like blowing one of those dandelions and all those little things go flying everywhere. He's not like you. He doesn't change like that.
Amen.
He doesn't need a cup of coffee to feel good in the morning. Amen? He's not that way. He's the same God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Thank God. Amen. Thank God He's that way. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think you're going to see the same thing here, verse number 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now see, that baffles the modernistic preacher. That baffles the modern day Christians in America. That baffles so many. Why? Because they formed a God in their pocket. That's why. Hey, there's another sermon title. Brother Anthony, they formed a God in their pocket. That'll make a lot of friends right there. That's exactly what they did. They formed a God in their own pocket. And they said, see, it's my little lucky piece. This is my little God. And this is how He acts all the time. This is what He does. They didn't get it from Him, though. They didn't get it from the Scriptures. They got it from their own deluded, listen, their own delusional mind. Because they're under strong delusion. Bible speaks of God turning them in first in Romans chapter 1. Remember what it says? And when they knew God, we talked about this Sunday, they glorified Him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart darkened. What did God say? He said, I'm going to turn them over to their own reprobate. I believe that's the same thing as delusion. I believe the same thing. You know, what's that mean? That means you're in your sin and you don't care. Somebody preaches to you, tells you the truth, you're like, huh, well, that ain't sin. No, there's nothing wrong with me doing that. That's when you know a man is close to reprobate, and he's delusional. You understand me? When he starts doing that, that's where he's at. When he is justifying his sin, he is either a lost man or completely reprobate. Because when you show him that he's wrong, and he says, no, I'm right. No, it's not wrong. See, that's what people need to understand. There's so many people that get fear inside, they get nervous about something, they get scared about something. They think, well, maybe I'm not there, I'm not saying. Listen, if sin bothers you, if it pricks your heart, if it convicts you, if it bothers you, it's because you're alive!
Amen.
If you were dead, you wouldn't care! If you were deluded, you wouldn't care! If you were reprobated, it wouldn't matter to you!
Right.
You wouldn't care. That's what you don't understand, is people that don't care. When they get to that point, when the Bible talks about them and they took an interest in religion, one of the soils, all right, but they didn't get saved, they ran. They ran into the world, they didn't care. They didn't come back, they just don't care. They don't care. Why? because they're either reprobate or delusional. Same thing, pretty much. God just turns them over. Just says, I'll set them delusion. I'll make them a reprobate. Then find you one. What is it doing? It's just giving you over to yourself, letting you be yourself. You want that wicked old nature? You can have it. It's yours. Go ahead. Amen. It's kind of like that God's three deadlines, Brother Paul. Amen. That sermon, God's three deadlines. Kind of like that, where they don't care. They don't care about their sins. Just go on saying don't care. They kiss their day of salvation away. They're done. They don't care. Why? What? And anyway, we'll develop that a little bit more as we go along here. All right. Next, so we see the Old Testament, the New Testament, same principle. It's a principle you've got to look at. Okay. Here's the principle. You say, well, it's not 2 Thessalonians talking about a specific strong delusion. Yeah, but the principle is still the same as the Old Testament. It may not be that worldwide delusion that's going to come on all the world, but I'll tell you what, it ain't far away. It's not far away at all. Number one, people today are under this strong delusion. We see total delusion out there today. Much of this delusion is from so-called Christians or professing Christians. Understand what I'm saying when I say that term, because that's been so abused. Christians in parentheses, I'll put it that way. Like, oh boy. What does that mean, delusion? It's the act of deluding, deception, misleading of the mind. It's an intentional misleading of the mind. What it is. I don't believe they're saved people, but I believe they're religious people. And boy, do we ever have that strong delusion. I'm going to show you some of that tonight here with some people that I'm just... It's ridiculous. Professing believers that are completely deluded. I mean, absolutely. And deceiving people in the same time. Now, I want to talk to you about some ministries that are promoting Halloween. I want to talk to you about Hollywood's favorite Christian, Kirk Cameron. That's Hollywood's favorite Christian. He says here in the there's an article on the Christian Post. There's an article that says Kirk Cameron, he's coming out with a movie called Saving Christmas. Now, I'm gonna preach a message sometime in the future, Lord willing, called Christless Mess. Christless Mess. And I'll deal with that a little bit later. And I'll probably deal with his movie. But anyway, Kirk Cameron, Saving Christmas, hits select theaters on November 14th, reminding Christians of the biblical relevance of Christmas time. Oh boy. With explanation for the Christmas tree, Santa Claus, and presents. Wow. The film helps put the Christ back in Christmas. Christ was never in it.
Amen.
He's never been a part of it.
Right.
It had nothing to do with him.
Amen.
He's not in the mass. He never was in the mass. That's a big mess.
Amen.
Furthermore, Saving Christmas attempts to debunk theories, he calls them, that Christmas is still rooted in pagan traditions. Still rooted? If the root is bad, the fruit is bad! Wow. Yeah, Ray Comfort's buddy, yeah. Mr. Reformation Bible, Geneva Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice, isn't it? Ray Comfort. I remember that, yeah. Yeah, the comfortable. In a recent interview, Cameron addressed the same theories as they are applied to Halloween, clarifying why Christians should have the biggest Halloween party on your block.
Wow.
I'm reading right from the article. I'm not making this up. You should have the biggest Halloween party on the block. He says the real origins have a lot to do with All Saints Day. And All Hallows Eve, the actor told Christian Post. If you go back to old church calendars, especially Catholic calendars, wait a minute! Hold on a second! Why do you want me to go back to Rome? They weren't Christian anyway. So what I smell is a Jesuit. That's what I smell. Because when you try, see, here's a Jesuit plan. Let me help you out with this, okay? Because here's what Jesuits do. Or Jesuit co-agitators, or people that work along with that spirit, here's what they do. They build up a popularity, or they take somebody popular, turn them into a Christian, build up a following, and then lead them to Rome. Under old El Papa. And that's where they head. And that's what he's doing here. Because when you tell me, go ahead and check with the old Catholic calendar. Now, why would I want to do that? Why would I want anything to do with the Catholic calendar? Why would I want to look to Rome for anything Christian? All right, All Hallows Eve, he says, the day before, when they would remember the dead, that's all tied into Halloween. You're right. But Kurt, I'm going to show you how it's all tied in. Because you're perverting history. I'm going to give you the real history that maybe some rich Hollywood guy hasn't figured out yet. So I'll help him out with it and I'll give it to him. Maybe we should mail him this message so he has it.
Absolutely.
Stinking fraud. This is not hard. This is easy to find. You can do it in about 30. You can do it in about 30 minutes. You can find everything that I have right here. The real origins have a lot to do with All Saints Day and All Hallows Eve, the actor told. Moreover, the unstoppable star. What Christian wants to be called a star? What Christian, what born-again believer wants to star in something or be a star? I thought Christ came meek and lowly.
Right, amen.
But the Antichrist, he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
Because why? Because he's going to come in his own name. And everybody's going to accept him. Everybody's going to love him. Moreover, the unstoppable star went on to cite that he believes to be the meaning behind dressing up in frightening costumes on Halloween, clarifying the meaning of October 31st. He says, when you go out on Halloween and see all people dressed in costumes, and see someone in a great big bobblehead Obama costume with great big ears and an Obama face, are they honoring him or poking fun, Cameron asked. They are poking fun at him, the actor said, answering his own question before comparing the concept of costumes to early Christianity. Now, what's your question? Early on, Christians would dress up in costumes as the devils, ghosts, goblins, witches, precisely to make the point that those things were defeated and overthrown by the resurrected Jesus Christ, Cameron continued. Now that is a lie. Romans did that. Catholics did those things. Celtic Christians did those things. But not born-again, Bible-believing Christians did not go running around dressed as witches and warlocks and wizards and goblins and demons. That's a lie. He says, the costumes poke fun at the fact that the devil and other evils were publicly humiliated by Christ's resurrection. That's what the scripture says, that he publicly humiliated the devil when he triumphed over power and principality and put them under his feet. Over time, you get some pagans who want to go, this is our day. High Holy Day of Satanic Church. And this is all about death. But Christians have always known since the first century. That's a lie. They didn't do that the first century. And I challenge him to prove that. He didn't prove that one bit. There's no proof of it. I'd love to see the proof of it that Christians dressed up like witches to honor God. What a lying scumbucket. Anyway. And I don't care if they did. It's not biblical.
Right. Man.
That's what scripture's saying. That the grave was overwhelmed, that ghosts, goblins, devils are foolish, has-beens, who used to be in power, but not anymore. That's the perspective Christians should have. Now let me stop there and explain something to you. This man is lying. He's trying to tell you that devils, goblins, and Satan have no power or not in power. That's not true. The Bible says, after Christ's resurrection, in 1 Corinthians, that Satan hath blinded their minds, and Satan is the god of this world. He is still in power here. Now, believers, when they get saved, they have power over that through the blood of Jesus Christ and their testimony, but that does not mean that Satan and the devils are running around hiding somewhere and they're not active, they're not doing anything. No, Kirk, I promise you, they're all over Hollywood.
Yeah. Amen.
All over it. And all over you, apparently. He says he publicly humiliated the devil. Which he, by the way, he did show a force, and he did lead captivity captive, and he did give gifts to men. Nobody's denying the victory of Christ. We also understand the Bible says, and not all things are put under his feet yet. What does that mean? He's going to come back and he's going to put all things under his feet.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But Satan's having his heyday right now.
More than ever.
Amen.
He's having his heyday right now. There, he ain't stopped. He's not bound. What do you name Amillennialist now? You think he's bound now? He's not working? Oh, yes, he's bound. No, he's not bound. Just ask the witches on the high day that you're practicing. Kirk, just ask them. They'll tell you he's not bound. Because they use his power all the time. Lastly, the fireproof star urged Christians to use Halloween as an opportunity to inform others about God with the biggest celebration around. You should have the biggest party on your block. You should have the reason for everyone to come to your house and before anyone else's house because yours is the most fun. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Our Christian life is supposed to be about fun. We're supposed to make it fun for everybody. See, you're supposed to be fun. So dressing up like a bunch of devils and running around pretending like you're mocking the devil is supposed to be fun. Well, listen, people ain't out there mocking the devil. They're dressing like him. They're acting like him. They're walking like him. They're talking like him. That's what Halloween is. Well, I'm going to show you what that is in a second here. He says you should have the biggest party on your block. He says Halloween gives you a great opportunity to show how Christians celebrate the day that death was defeated. And you can give them gospel tracts and tell the story of how every ghost, goblin, witch, and demon was trounced the day Jesus rose from the grave. Does this guy ever get out of the studio or what? I'm going to show you what witches do, but I mean, do you understand what he's trying to tell you? He's trying to tell you to go out. They're all defeated. You know what it reminds me of? Kenneth Copeland. I watched a video of Kenneth Copeland. Did anybody see that video I posted on my Facebook page of Kenneth Copeland? Kenneth Copeland stands up there, Brother Paul. I'm not kidding you. He stands up there and he says, I just want everybody to know that I got together with this other preacher over in Africa and we put a stop to Ebola. I just want you to know that we're in agreement. And I mean, he's talking to Satan here. He's talking to Satan and he's talking to angels. Now, the only thing you do is rebuke Satan. You don't have a conversation with him. Amen? You rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ, the Scripture, you rebuke him. But you don't have a conversation with him, and you sure don't talk to angels and ask them to protect you. That's not biblical. Now, God wants to send his angels because you're praying to him, and you're asking the Lord to direct his angels. That's his business. Amen? They'll protect you. Don't you dare go asking angels, because what you're doing is praying to the host of heaven. What you're doing is talking to angels. You're not supposed to be talking to angels like that. You're supposed to be praying to God Almighty. Amen. You're supposed to be praying through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're supposed to be praying to Jesus. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. You are not to be praying to angels. You're not to be. And by the way, I'm going to cover this sometime in a sermon real soon. You ain't supposed to be talking to your dead mom or your dead dad or your dead cousin or your dead rabbit or your dead parrot. Anything dead, okay? There's preachers, and I'm going to cover this. Because there's fundamental Baptist preachers that taught people they ought to go talk to their mom beyond the grave. And there's these preachers in Hiles Anderson College running around talking at the gravesite, talking to their mom and dad. I'm not kidding you, brother. I'm not kidding you. This Baptist preacher, Jack Hiles, taught that he would go to his mom and dad's grave and he would like talk to them. For what? What are you talking to him for? Hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. Yeah, I mean, and then I read it, and you could tell the teaching was because Anderson wrote a letter to Hiles after Hiles was dead, telling him why he was leaving the former church that he pastored. Dr. Hiles, I just want you to know, he wrote a letter to him, he's dead. Dr. Hiles, I just want you to know that I have to leave that church. And he's right, he wrote a full letter to Dr. Hiles telling him. These kids were going, I can't stay on this. I got to get moving. I'm going to cover it soon. All right?
Wow.
Because there's people that do this now. There's people that do this and they shouldn't do it. You shouldn't be talking to dead people. All right? Now, I don't realize they're alive in Christ and their souls. But God said don't pray to the host of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
I'm gonna cover that.
My Pentecostal church wouldn't have done that.
What's that?
My Pentecostal church wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? That's pretty bad, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't that bad? A fundamental Baptist church doing that. Taught thousands of kids. You know what they did? They went to grave sites and they prayed at graves. Because Dr. Hiles went and prayed at graves. Isn't that something? Yeah, I name drop because the Apostle Paul did. So, I don't have any allegiance to any of these people in either group, and it doesn't matter to me if I make any of them mad. I could care less. I don't care. They need the truth. You're dishonoring God by doing that. I mean, later, I gotta stop. Okay, I'm gonna keep moving. That's another message. I'm gonna pick it back up though, because it's a spirit world. It's an issue.
Amen.
It's a real issue. I've watched people do it. Man, spooky. Anyway, he said you should. Anyway, so it goes on to say you should have the biggest party. Halloween arrives on Friday, October 31st this year. For more from Kirk Cameron, stay tuned to the Christian Post. Blah blah blah, and. Don't worry, I'll come back and cream his movie, Saving Christmas. I will do that, and I'll have a blessing to do it. Anyway, I want to read you some things about Halloween, though, okay? I want you to understand a few things here, where Kirk is off his rocker here. According to many scholars, All Hallows' Eve is a Christianized feast. Initially, this is from the Lizard website, by the way. Initially influenced by Celtic harvest festivals with possible pagan roots. Okay, so a Lutheran website is admitting, okay, listen to this, admitting that this All Hallows Eve feast probably came from pagan roots. Then why do it? It's like in Baptist history, a few Methodists have said, man, well, everybody was a Baptist back then. Why didn't you become one then? Why'd you get sprinkled then? Why did you get Methodist historians? Yeah, it's really strange. Well, history is a weird thing. Other scholars maintain that it originated independently of Samhain and has solely Christian roots. Those people are deluded. Typical festive Halloween activities include trick-or-treating or the related guising, attending costume parties, decorating carving pumpkins into jack-o'-lanterns, lighting bonfires, apple bobbing, visiting haunted house attractions, playing pranks, telling scary stories, and watching horror movies. In many parts of the world, the Christian religious observances of All Hallows Eve, including attending church services and lighting candles on the graves of the dead. Christians lighting candles on the graves of the dead. For what? They're not there.
Right.
And I know people get upset when I say this, but there's no reason to go waste money on flowers either. They ain't there.
Right.
I mean, don't get mad at me. I'm just asking you. They ain't there. And even if they were, they don't care. They ain't going to smell your flowers. Why do we go put flowers on graves? Oh, it's memorials. Remember them in your mind and thank God and talk about them, but you don't got to go put flowers and spend money on that. Why? For what? Don't don't you believe the Bible? They're not there. They're going to rise one day, their body is. Their soul is with the Lord. Would you believe this book?
I don't get it.
Although in other locations, these solemn customs are less pronounced in favor of a more commercialized and secularized celebration. Because many Western Christian denominations encourage, although no longer require, abstinence from meat on All Hallows' Eve, the tradition of eating certain vegetarian foods for this vigil day developed, including the consumption of apples, something else I can't pronounce, cider, potato pancakes, and soul cakes. What's a soul cake? What's a soul cake? It's a new one. By the way, Kirk Cameron is full of Hollywood and Roman Catholic baloney, just so you know.
Yeah.
Halloween or Samhain has nothing to do with the saints of God. The Bible is very clear that we're to learn not the way of the heathen.
That's right. Amen.
These days were started by the Roman Catholic papacy. So you're trying to tell me that I'm supposed to go back and copy what the Roman Catholic papacy did? I'm supposed to mimic them? That's the great whore. Why would I mimic them? Christians have no business celebrating any of those things. Look at this history here. The mass Irish and Scottish immigration during the 19th century increased the holiday celebration in the United States. The influx of Roman Catholics in the United States is the reason why we even have Halloween here. Because it was not here during the Puritans' time when pilgrims first landed and even on down through. It was not, I mean, they wouldn't even think. If you told them, they'd have burned you at the stake probably if you told them you were having a Halloween party. I mean, the Puritans, I'm not condoning what they're doing, but they burned witches and people that weren't witches. And some of them were probably witches, but anyway, they tried to burn Baptists. They would hang them, but they would hang witches, they would kill them. Yeah, they did hang Baptists. Yeah, they killed a lot of them. Yeah, absolutely. But, Ephraim Cyrus in 373 mentions a feast dedicated to the saints in his writings of St. Chrysostom of Constantinople was the first Christian we know of to assign the feast to a particular day. The first Sunday after Pentecost. So this is 370 years. This is 300 years after Christ. Well, who came 300 years after Christ? Constantine. This is all pagan. Constantine is the one that took the pagan holidays, put Christian names on them, and those that conformed to Rome and got big buildings and incorporated, they got what they wanted. Anyway, it says here that the Western Church, however, until the Roman Bishop Boniface, the fourth, consecrated the Pantheon at Rome to Christian usage as a church on May 13th, 609 or 610. The feast was observed annually in this date until the time of Bishop of Rome, Gregory III, when its observance was shifted November 1st. See how they did that? Since on this date, Gregory dedicated a chapel in the Basilica of St. Peter to all the saints. Wasn't that nice of him? This isn't my faith. It's the faith of devils. This is strong delusion that's been set for any Christian to believe that God is okay with you dressing up like devils and running around and learning the way of the heathen. They're deluded. They're under delusion. Jeremiah 10:2 says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." They're looking for the signs of heaven. They're looking for them. You know, the heathen, the witches, they're looking for them. I'm going to show you that here in a second. Now, in comes another article I want you to see here. By the way, I'm going to get back to a lot of Bible scripture here at the end. But I'm giving you an idea of why I believe this is foolish. Now, everybody know James Dobson? Dr. Dobson? Focus, Brother Paul calls it focus on your own family. Right, Brother Paul? Well, there's a lady on here that wrote an article about this. And only a lady would think of a title like this. I'm sorry, ladies, this upsets you. But for Halloween, it's called Making Sweet Memories. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She says this, "Halloween is approaching and festivities of this night can be seen everywhere. I remember celebrating this time with passion and excitement while growing up." It was a time to act goofy with my friends, dress up, and go from house to house seeking the title of who received the most candy. One year, my brother even got together with friends and created a spooky maze in our garage. There was nothing gross about the costumes. It was simply a boo experience. See, that's how the devil works. You understand this? They made Casper the Ghost. They made all these little cards. Why? To get you involved in the spirit world. That's how the devil does it. If he came like a fire-breathing dragon with a skull showing in two hands, if he came like the Grim Reaper, you'd run out the door! So what does he come? He repackages it. He repackages it to make it acceptable to you, so it'll pique your interest, so you'll get involved with it, so you'll Christianize Halloween. She said, that drew my brothers, my family, and our friends closer together as we all spent endless hours collaborating and building this spectacular maze that went from the garage through the backyard and out around the other side of the house. They all got together and made a Halloween maze, made a spooky maze. Isn't that great? I'd rather have the memories of all coming together and preaching the gospel on the streets. I'd rather have the memories of working together with my brethren somewhere, helping each other out. I'd rather my sons have those memories than honoring the devil. But listen to what she says here. When I look back upon these memories, I do not recall any evil involved at all. That's because you're a naive woman. Because everything you just said was evil. You tried to make it good, and it's evil. Bible has something for that. I'll show you that in a second. It was a time to pretend, to laugh, and of course eat a lot of otherwise forbidden candy. My parents were very careful about checking our candy, explaining how to be safe, and making sure this was the time that we were enjoying festivities and not encountering evil. Anybody remember what the Bible says about Satan? He is the most blank beast of the field. Subtle. He's subtle. This is subtle evil. That's what this is. She said, one year, I decided to go outside of the boundaries set by my parents. I wonder why. Was it the fact that you were enticed by evil, by subtle evil, so you wanted to turn it up a notch a little bit and see what it was really like? See, that's how sin works, okay? When you get a little taste of it, you start feeding off of it, it grows. And your appetite for evil grows. And the more you delve into wickedness, the more hungry you are for it! Folks are delusional. She said, I decided to go outside of the boundaries set by my parents, and I walked through a haunted house that was not all fun and games. Inside, I saw horrible visions and was the most scared I had ever been. I quickly learned why the boundary was put up, and I never crossed that boundary again. I know there's a lot of controversy regarding Halloween. No, there's really no controversy, lady. It's wicked as hell. There's no controversy at all. The whole name, everything it stands for, there's no controversy unless you are a deluded fool.
Yeah.
How long do you think you can play with the devil before you get burned? I'm just curious how long folks think that they can mess around with evil, they can mess around with the devil before they get taken captive at his will. You know, it reminds me of every deluded witch I've ever heard about, Brother Aaron. They all say they can control that devil if they do things just right. If they draw that circle just right. If they say the words just right. If they speak the word just right. They can speak power out and they can control everything. No, you can't. See, the problem is, you fundamental kids, and I'm talking to every single one of you that grew up in a fundamental church, you don't think evil is real out there. You don't want to hear about it, some of you, if it is. You want to, and I understand all that, but what you got to understand is, you are going to see God bring people into this church, and you're going to have to understand that these people, they didn't live a neat little pretty life like you did, okay? They're coming from hardcore stuff. They've seen the devil before. They've heard his voice before.
Yep.
So when they see you playing games with evil, they're like, you're crazy. You better run from that. You better get away from that. That ain't no joke. Why do you think people are contacting me from all over the world? Why do you think they are? You know why? Because they're like, by God's grace, he's real. I mean, he's telling you the truth. He ain't lying to you. He's not pulling any punches. He's telling you the truth. It's evil. You better run from that stuff. Don't play games with hell. All
right, man.
Ask him after church sometime. Ask Brother Aaron sometime. Ask Brother Nate when he comes here. Just you grew up where you're away from all that. Somehow, it's not as real. You've only heard it after. You know why? Because your preacher didn't preach the devil out of you. He didn't preach hell out of you. That's why. He didn't warn you about this stuff. You know why? Because he preached the Bible like it was some kind of textbook. And not like it was the very words of life. He didn't warn you about the struggle. Because he thought, man, these people are going to think I'm crazy if I preach on this. They're going to think I'm crazy. No, they'll actually think you believe it. That's what will happen. See, I actually believe it. When I found out this was the mothership of all Wiccan covens over here, I believed it. I said, well, that makes a lot of sense. I spent 7 years of my life stomping these streets, and they laughed in my face and wouldn't open a door. Now it's starting to make sense. Why?
That's right, man. Yeah. Amen.
And that's why when I walked downtown and started preaching, it got a little crazy. Think about it. She says, I know there's a lot of controversy regarding Halloween and its origin. And as a parent now, I agree with keeping your kids from any form of evil if you possibly can. If you possibly can? And Dobson actually let this lady write for him? First of all, lady, go home and bake some cookies, okay? That might make some of you mad, but I really don't care. I'm serious. Get back in the kitchen.
There you go.
Because you don't need to be giving theological advice to anybody.
Amen.
Because you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Wow. You know, it used to be preachers to say that stuff all the time, but now it makes people mad. You know what I say to you? Two words. Strong delusion.
Yeah, right.
That's why. She says here, I agree that people take this night way too far and make this into the most evil night of the year. Lady, it is!
Right.
I'm going to show you. It is one of the most evil nights of the year. And I'm going to show you why it's one of the most evil nights of the year. I don't want to hear it. I don't either. I wish I didn't know it. But you know what? You got to learn how to war. You got to learn how to fight. And just maybe, you say, I'm scared. Good. Maybe you'll start loving Jesus. Maybe you'll start calling out to him. Maybe you'll start praying. Maybe you'll start seeking his face. And maybe you'll get real about God.
Man.
Playing games. Ain't no games.
That's right.
It's real. And it's about to get a whole lot realer as time goes by. She says here that I agree that people take this way too far. Bottom line is that it is my job to teach my son how to have good, clean fun on a holiday, even if the world around him is screaming evil. You've got to have good, clean fun with devils. This kid this kid is very perceptive to evil and very aware of his boundaries regarding it. No, he's not. He's very receptive to evil. He's perceptive to evil? No, he's receptive to it. And you're laying the groundwork for this kid to worship devils. That's exactly what you're doing. I will step out on a limb here and be completely honest. That's good. I do not see any harm in dressing up as a clean character, go from door to door for the experience of collecting candy and spending time with friends and family throughout the night. It is fun. It's meant to be fun. You'll never see me at an adult secular costume party, allowing scary costumes or scary movies or playing that awful Halloween music at my house. Why? This is not why I enjoy Halloween. Strong delusion. That's all I can tell you. Yeah. Although the least favorite, by the way, no Bible in anything she's saying. You understand? Kirk, same way. Nothing. No Bible really listed there. Flippant use of a verse. No scripture defending why he does something. Not even defending, approving why we do something. It's fun. It's meant to be fun. No, it's meant to be evil. It's meant for you to have fun and enjoy evil. It's meant to. And it's a gateway to the occult. Big time. You'll never see me in an adult secular costume party. Although the least favorite of all holidays, I do enjoy seeing my son dress up and fill a bag with goodies that I normally do not let him eat. I take the candy and replace it with candy that I bought. I know it's safe, and he is aware of this entire process. Well, then why do you do it? I want him to have fun. Look, my job as a parent is not to make sure you have fun. My job is to raise you in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have some fun and do some things. That's going to happen. But it ain't going to be fun with evil. See, some of you want to be your children's best friend and not their parent. That doesn't work. Somebody's got to be the authority, and somebody's got to follow. Because that's God's order. If you think you're a specialty to it, you're going to be a victim to the results. Amen. Think about it. He is aware that candy from strangers can't be trusted. I can't trust my son to travel around to house to house, so I just let him do it, and then I take the candy and trade it for other candy. Well, should you even be knocking on these people's doors and doing this if you don't trust them?
Right.
Why would you even go through the... Because you don't want to... Oh, I get it. I know why. Because you don't want to come out from among them and be separate, thus saith the Lord God. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, you want to raise your children up with evil light. And trying to get them to get along with the world. Just get along a little bit so they don't... Everybody wants to get along. Since when... By the way, what's wrong with the church today? You know what's wrong with it? I use it as an institutional sense, by the way. But you know what's wrong with it today? They started trying to reach people. They want to reach people. The Bible never called us to reach people. It called us to preach! Called us to teach, but not to compromise, not to try to reach them. So now guess what? So now the church tries to find a way to get along. So now they're having their trunk or treat parties. They're having their we'll just bring the Halloween party to the church. Then it'll be safe. She says, bottom line is that when my son and I dress up and enjoy this time together, it's a memory builder that has nothing to do with any form of evil. Now that is the most confusing mess I have ever heard in my life. You're walking around dressed up in costumes while everybody else has worse costumes, so to speak, than you. Unbelievable. Anyway, alright, let me tell you what they believe, what they admit to this being. Okay, the witches, the druids, those that understand this, those that practice this. Isn't it amazing that God's people, I hope they're God's people, but I'm not sure. God's people are worshiping and practicing on satanic high days. Samhain means summer's end and marks the beginning of winter. For most, All Hallows Eve, Halloween, one of the two most important nights of the year, attempts are made to break the bond which is keeping the doors to the underworld closed. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Well, see, there's a spiritual door. Okay? And they know that at a certain time, equinox and everything, autumn equinox and everything, at a certain time, they know the veil is thinner at that point. And they can reach that spirit world through that veil. They can break through that veil and get power from the devil. You say, that's not true. Yes, it is. And they know it, and they do it. Why? Have you ever noticed how October gets weird? You never noticed that? Well, if you go out street preaching, you'll notice it. It gets weird every October. It starts to get strange. All the way. Why? Because it's satanic power. That's why. But if you ain't in a battle, you won't notice much.
Right.
Attempts are made to break the bond which is keeping the doors of the underworld closed. Blood and certain rites are so I'm going to use the word fornication here, for association with devils. God is my boyfriend type stuff, okay? Spirit and flesh merging. Okay? You understand? I'm not going to go any deeper than that. That's enough. You can get it. Okay? Like they talk about all the time. Samhain means summer's end and marks the beginning of winter. For most Wiccans, this is the new year. Any time of reflection where the oldest let go and new is anticipated. From ancient times, it designates the end of harvest season, associated with the festivals of the colors of black and orange. Oh, obsidian, onyx, apples, catnip, corn, pears, squash, and wormwood. It also is known as Halloween or All Hallows Eve. Blood feast. Celtic New Year, Day of the Dead. Last Harvest, Winter's Eve. This is going to scare my kids. Hopefully they understand it's real then. Hopefully they grow up to understand. You think it's enough that you just tell them, no, you can't have Halloween. No, we just don't do that. They just stop and don't say anything else. So they grow up and they see their friends or other people, and they say, I wonder why we can't have Halloween. I've never seen anything that's a big deal with it. I mean, what's the big deal? No, you're not going to be able to blame this preacher that you weren't warned. You're not going to be able to say, I didn't know. My preacher didn't tell me. He didn't tell me any of that. He didn't warn me about the evil out there. He didn't tell me any of that. You won't be able to say that about me. Because I warned you. I told you it was real. Because this book says it's real. And they practiced it real. And they know what it is. Also known as Halloween and All Hallows Eve is designated by the Catholic Church. This date is the Illuminati's high day of human sacrifices. That's what it's about. I don't like that. I don't like it either. You think just because I have to tell you this, I like it? Think it's fun to tell people this stuff? No, because they think you're crazy. Oh, what? Oh, this is just some kid going out and dressed up in a costume. No, it's not. No, it never has been that. Halloween has been changed over the past 30 years in two important ways. First, children have been encouraged to participate by donning such inoffensive costumes as Barbie, Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman. Secondly, adult costuming and parties have reached a tremendous apex and has become a most macabre day of celebration. I mean, Halloween parties for adults are bigger than kids now. Why? Listen to me, folks. If you make an environment or an atmosphere comfortable for devils, guess what? They're going to come.
Yeah.
Where this book is preached, lived, proclaimed, prayed, they don't want to be around that. They don't like that. They might try. They don't like it.
Right.
So if your home has a bunch of wicked movies in it, has a bunch of horror movies, has a bunch of Halloween, has a bunch of satanic-led rap music, has a bunch of all those things in your house, guess what? They're comfortable. They like being there. Say, no problem being there. Understand? See, but preacher, come on, you can't think that stuff's real. Yeah, they admit it. And God's word warned us not to take in those accursed things. And He judged for it. Historically, Halloween is the deadliest holiday ever celebrated in human history. The Satanic Night is dedicated to the Celtic Lord of the Dead, also symbolized by the Horn God and the Stag God. The Druids celebrated Samhain as a three-day fire festival, building huge bonfires thought to ward off devils and roamed around. Additionally, the fires provided the means by which they required a human sacrifice to be presented to the sun god. In enormous wicker baskets, the priests caged both human and animal sacrifices, which they then lowered into the flames. Isn't that nice? The priests would carefully watch the manner in which the victim died in order to predict whether the future held good or evil. Pagan traditions of holidays. Page 71. This pagan practice is over 2,000 years old. For the sake of their safety and well-being, people put outside their homes sweets. Oh, that's where that came from? Yeah. The best mutton legs, vegetables, eggs, and poultry, honey, and even wine, so the wandering evil spirits would consume them on their way back to the netherworld. Failure to treat these evil spirits, which results in a curse being put on the home. The people literally believed that when these spirits came to your door, they would trick you if you did not treat them. The American version of Halloween came from Ireland. The potato famine in 1840 brought thousands of immigrants from the Emerald Isle. With them came goblins, jack-o'-lanterns, bonfires, apples, nuts, and pranks. The Irish also responsible for bringing trick-or-treating to great popularity in America and Ireland on October 31st. Peasants went from house to house to receive offerings to their druid god, Mac Aulo. This procession stopped at each house to tell the farmer his prosperity was due to the benevolence of that god, or else misfortune might befall the farmer and his crops. Few farmers risked any such displeasure of the pagan deity, so the procession returned home with eggs, butter, potatoes, and in some cases, coins. To the Irish farmer, this was no joke. They greatly feared the Celtic god might destroy their homes and barns. Trick-or-treat is a part of a pagan heritage. Pagan Traditions of Holidays, page 78 to 79. Hey, Kirk and Megan, you still trying to Christianize evil? How come you don't believe what's fact? Historical fact, not disputable. Historical fact. Nobody denies it. This is what happened. This is why they did it. This is what they did. Do you really believe this is God honoring? Do you really believe you can honor Christ by dressing like a devil?
Would we not?
These people believe that if you dressed in a terrifying costume, listen, and went trooping around with the spirits all night, they would think you were one of them and would leave you alone. Halloween Satanism, page 26 and 27. Celts often hollowed out a turnip and carved a grotesque face on it to fool demons. They carried such lanterns to light their way to the dark and to ward off evil spirits. While the turnip continues to be popular in Europe today, the pumpkin has replaced it in America. Jack is a nickname for John, which is a common slang word meaning man. Jack-o'-lanterns literally means man with a lantern. All of them have pagan roots. All of the ceremonies that people hold to and practice, they're all pagan. By the way, as children of God, we don't have anything to do with paganism.
Right.
And you know, the other thing is we don't fear it either. We don't have to fear it. Because we trust in the living God. Now, how does strong delusion work in the Bible? As seeing all this, because plainly, in a short little summary, and that isn't even, I was very, very, very conservative with what I said. It's way worse than that. But I gave you the G-rated version, I should say, that was better to give. God is the author, though. Number one, God is the author of strong delusion. He is the one that sends it. Look at our two text verses. We see in both those text verses that God sends strong delusion. Why does He send it? He says, I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Sound like Halloween? sound like professing Christians that are trying to Christianize Halloween. And God says, okay, well, you're a professing Christian. You're trying to Christianize Halloween. I'm going to send delusion to you, so you're fooled. Because I can't figure out any other way why any man would think that this was okay to be a part of. I don't see it. Do you realize we are at the point to where we have Christian Halloween? Do you understand? We have Christian Devil Day. We have Christian Witchcraft. You might as well call it that. We have Christian Witchcraft Day. Christians go out, they dress like devils, or they join those devils out in the streets. They act, they walk, they talk just like them. Meanwhile, in the background, the witches are doing all their ceremonies, the Wiccans are doing all their ceremonies, the devils are doing all theirs. You actually think the devil is mocked by you dressing up as a devil? Well, he don't even look like that anyway. The Bible says this, I will choose their delusions. Apostle Paul said, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness, them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. They're under strong delusion for their rejection of the truth. Their absolute rejection of the truth. And we have a country today, America, churches all over America, completely full of delusional people that have already believed the lie. Do you think it's going to be hard to set up the Antichrist? By the way, where do you think he's going to sit on the sides of the north in the congregation? What congregation is he talking about? I think he's going to be... Remember, everybody is going to be affected on this earth that's here. Now, those that take the mark are going to be the ones that obviously follow him. But he's got a whole lot of religious people in big buildings that are already worshiping him instead of Christ. Do you understand that? They are delusional and they are worshiping him instead of Christ. They're already religious. You know what rat? Do you know that rat poison is 97% okay? But that 3% of strychnine will kill you. So Satan is fine with you being 97% on board with this book and 3% off of it. Because that's all you need to go to hell. John Gill said this, he said, so that they call evil good and good evil. And do not appear to have the common sense and reason of mankind. At least do not according to it, and by giving them up to judicial blindness and hardness of heart and to the God of this world to blind their minds. And without this, it is not to be accounted for that the followers of Antichrist should give in to such senseless notions as those of transubstantiation, works into such stupid practices as worshiping images, praying to saints departed, and paying such a respect to the pretended relics of saints as they do. But a spirit of slumber is given them, and eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, because of their rejection of the gospel. For this very cause, that they would not receive the love of the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Therefore, God permits strong delusion to occupy their minds so that they believe a lie rather than the truth. They prefer false apostles to their erroneous doctrines to the pure truths of the gospel brought to them by the well-accredited messengers of God, being ever ready to receive any false messiah while they systematically and virtually reject the true one. Listen, it's happening everywhere. They're accepting homosexuality. We've Christianized homosexuality.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. America has Christianized homosexuality.
Yep. Right, preacher.
And the Pope just sends a signal of his approval, too. Because in his anti-Christian institution, that he's the spiritual head of his anti-Christian institution, it's okay. He signaled it's fine. So what's going on? What's happening? They Christianized homosexuality. They Christianized witchcraft. Prove it, preacher. The circle maker. Huh? The circle maker.
Preacher.
Approved in Christian schools and churches all over the place. Hey, I'm not making it up. Check me out. Prove me wrong. They Christianized it. They Christianized every single... Oh, there's a ministry out there that Christianized hookers for Jesus. That's out there. Prostitutes for Christ. That's been Christianized. Is there anything left that hasn't been? Any evil that hasn't? What is this? Strong delusion? They Christianized rock music. Amen, that's right. Hey, that's right. Hey, they Christianized rock music.
Death metal.
Death metal's Christian now. Christian death metal. Contemporary Christian music, which, by the way, I'm going to prove is the spirit of Antichrist, coming up soon. Contemporary Christian music and the spirit of Antichrist. That one's going to be a fun one. But they Christianized that. So you can bring voodoo beats into the church and they Christianized voodoo beats. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm going to preach a message coming up real soon, naming it something, the spirit in lyrics. Mm-hmm. They Christianized it. What is this? Strong delusion. That they all might be damned. That believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Hollywood's been Christianized. Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Look at Kirk Cameron. He's a big famous actor that came in, and all these Christians are just flocking around the famous actor, and oh, they love him and all. I had one guy get on my Facebook page, got mad at me. I'm almost done here. He got mad at me. He said, "You're being too hard on Kirk." Kirk. You're being too hard on him. He just tried to Christianize witchcraft and Halloween. What do you mean I'm being too hard on him? I ain't being hard enough.
Right, man.
But see, what happened? Well, Hollywood, they love Jesus. They do. They love Jesus. Sure, they got a Jesus they love. It's that other Jesus and that other gospel. It's the Antichrist that the world is preparing for. This is the way that it's done. And God has, I believe, given them over to their strong delusion. Listen to what this one preacher said about the Jesuits. The Jesuits confess that the legend of miracles of their saints is for the most part false. But it was made for good intention. And herein, that it is lawful and meritorious to lie. And write such things to the end, the common people might with greater zeal serve God and His saints. And especially to draw women to good order, being by nature facial or credulous, addicted to novelties and miracles. The Spanish pilgrims. See, they admitted that they're lying. See, an old Jesuit trick is to just lie to people to get them to be more spiritual. So that's what Kirk is doing. He's just, in my opinion, that's what he's doing anyway. He's just telling you Halloween. See, it's about victory for Jesus. So how have we gotten so stupid that we actually believe that it's honoring Christ to look like a devil, to dress like a devil and to act like one, to walk like one, to talk like one, to be involved in one? Why? Because we've Christianized paganism, that's why. Constantine did it, and now in these end times, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. See, we're here. We have Christianized just about every evil you could attempted to Christianize just about every evil you could imagine. We have completely flipped everything around.
Yeah.
I had somebody tell me, and I'm going to close here, but I had somebody tell me this on my Facebook page yesterday. They said, oh, we can't go after these Hollywood actors. You don't need to go after them. Because another one will just rise up after it. So you might as well just attack Satan and not them. By the way, this is somebody that's under conviction because they watch this garbage. It's always why somebody makes an excuse for sin. That's why. But Deuteronomy 18 says something different to me. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10, and we're going to close here. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination of the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. What does that mean? God told them, and don't you ever house one of these people either. And if you know about it in your tribe, don't you ever hold back. You bring them in front of everybody and you tell the truth of who they are. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So, when people consult with familiar spirits to get their scripts, and then devils are entertaining you, it is my sacred duty to warn you.
Amen.
It is my duty to call them out. It is my duty to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. It is an absolute duty that most preachers don't fulfill. Why? Because their congregation won't be comfortable with the messages. They won't like to talk about things like that. Oh, that's glorifying evil. Did you know that that is an old trick of Satan? It's an old trick of Satan because he doesn't want to be exposed. So in order to do that, they say, well, don't talk about something like that. You don't want to talk about it because that's glorifying evil. So you certainly do not want to talk about anything like that because you'll be glorifying evil. Whoops. But you know what that is, don't you?
Breaking stuff,
that's right. Do you know what that is, don't you? That's a trick of the devil. See, because he likes being masked. He can hide in your movies. He can hide in your DVD player. He can hide in your stereo. He can hide in all those places. He can hide in your entertainment. And preachers don't preach about that. Oh, I can't preach about that stuff. I mean, that's don't concentrate on that stuff. Don't talk about that stuff. Why? Did you know that it's an old Jesuit trick also? Witches do it too, by the way, not just Jesuits, but they're almost one and the same. But one just, it's a different order, but it's about the same. Anyway, did you know what they do? They used to send people in churches. Alberto talked about this, and they would send them into churches, and if the pastor would preach against spiritual wickedness or Roman Catholicism or witchcraft or anything like that, they would cause a stir and a ruckus in the church. Or if the pastor would preach against sin, preach against fornication, preach against any of those things, they would send somebody to the church to cause a ruckus to try to get it stopped. Why? Because a church that preaches against sin is going to have the power of God on it.
Yeah.
And they don't want that. Amen. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is that you and I cannot be a part of any Christianization of wicked and evil. We have to stand firm in our convictions. We have to stand firm in the Word of God. And we have to do battle against the devil. And it's really sad that Christians have decided, or professing Christians have decided, it is easier to hold hands with the devil than it is to fight him. And you are a bunch of cowards. Amen. Those that hold that are a bunch of cowards.
That's right.
Those that hold to that are either phonies and fakes, or they are the cowardliest people that I have ever seen. Do you know what it is? It's people that can't stand the sight of spiritual blood. They don't got the stomach for battle. You know what? You better get on your knees and get in your Bible and figure out that this world is waxing worse and worse. And it's coming, friend. That war is constant day by day, but the bigger one is coming, and you better be on your knees and in your Bible. And stop visiting Jesus on Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. You better be living for Him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your words. Lord, help us to live by them. The war's coming, Lord. It's already here. We're already in it, but more battles are ahead of us. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Dear God, strengthen Your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.